The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube, TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. What's happening, Kelly?
You good? Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. What a show today. We got your Drew Densick from Bet the Edge at NBC Sports and, of course, the Deep Dive podcast. We'll talk all kinds of things with him. NBA, tennis, all kinds of stuff with Drew, as we do each and every time. Mark Borcher will join us. I did the Beating the Book MLB preview megapod yesterday with the likes of Jason Weingarten, Paul Spohr, and Adam Burke. Not just the likes of, but actually them. Nerdfest, and I mean that in the best way positive, best way possible. Why can't I speak? But Mark Borchard did not get to join us, so he will join us today for a couple segments, talk about his favorite season-long MLB bets from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. Always at a hideout. And then, Kelly, in addition to Lamar Jackson next team odds, it's Twitter Beef Tuesday on a numbers game. Yes, indeed. Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha, will be here to set the record straight on a tweet that he didn't care for from Steve Fezzik this past week. And that got a lot of gambling Twitter buzz. And so Chrissy's going to come on the show, and he's going to just get the truth out. Now, I like both guys. Chrissy is my mishpucha, and Steve I like very much. So I'm not gonna play sides here. We're just going to sort of represent both sides, and people can decide for themselves. Isn't that what news organizations do? You decide. We give you the details. You decide.
Yes.
That kind of thing?
That's what they're supposed to do, yeah.
Okay.
Supposed to do, yeah.
In a past bygone era,
yeah.
That's what they did. These days, not so much. But we'll do that. We'll try to do that anyway on the show today with Chrissy in studio. That's exciting. Aren't you excited? You sound less excited than I thought you would be. I thought you'd be like, yes, Twitter beef, because don't you love the hot goss? Isn't that your thing?
Yeah, I love the hot goss.
You're like a walking TMZ tabloid.
I love the hot goss. No, I'm looking forward to it, man.
All right. Maybe Kelly's subdued because a little something happened on the show yesterday that we should probably bring up first. And that is when I just sort of ruminated out loud about, the MVP market in the NBA and the fact that yesterday was supposed to be the night where the Nuggets playing the Sixers, it could be Nikola Jokic versus Joel Embiid. And, I pointed out the possibility of this not happening. Well, here's the video. Here's how it went.
Yeah.
Tonight is the battle for the MVP, if, of course, Embiid plays. The battle for the MVP between Jokic and Embiid. And we wonder how many of these voters, they'll never admit it, but what percentage of these voters are going to base their MVP vote on whatever happens tonight in this game if the two shall meet?
If Embiid doesn't play tonight, I'll drink whatever eggnog anybody brings me from whatever month of whatever year ever.
Sweet.
This guy is a lock to play tonight. Are you kidding me?
Vintage eggnog from the year 2014. Coming on for Kelly Bidlin. This guy's a lock to play tonight, you said. And of course, I don't know why you just overrode the cautionary notes that you, of course, about an hour and a half after we got out of here, they're like, yeah.
What do you, yeah,
Embiid's
it, it
not
was
playing.
Like an hour and a half. Wasn't even that long after the show.
That didn't age well.
The only thing I'm really disappointed in is that I used the L word. You know what I mean? You never use the L word.
Yeah.
Come on. So yeah, I'm an idiot.
Can you acquire eggnog, or
impossible? As I texted you yesterday, I was running errands. I was in Smith's. I was like, let me check if they got eggnog. I'll do this, but they didn't have any eggnog.
They didn't have any eggnog.
Sorry.
So we gotta find some.
Got a lot of tweets, that's for sure.
So the other part in that, besides Kelly just brashly saying this is a lock to happen, which of course is the headline from that, and that he's got to ingest eggnog at a rapid pace at some point on this show. He can't get out of it.
We did, a Buddhist man did have he did have some good suggestions that it would be the halftime show of me chugging eggnog in between Matt's kicks.
Oh, great.
When he goes from right leg to left leg.
So in other words, this is never going to happen. This is a mythical event. It will never happen. We'll find Bigfoot quicker. So the other thing in that little video from yesterday that got lost in your guarantees was that I sort of said, like, again, how many of these voters will never know, but how many were basically waiting for that showdown, if you will, to determine their entire year's NBA MVP vote? And if you think that that was an outlandish sort of aside, Kelly, didn't you hear from people, sort of Kendrick Perkins said it mattered to him yesterday, but weren't there multiple people who said, there's NBA Central, Kendrick Perkins calling out Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is ducking that smoke. You cannot sit out this game. When it comes down to these matchups, I have a vote for MVP. I'm going to remember this moment. But weren't there were a few others who said, yeah.
Yeah, I was on NBA Live yesterday, and it was almost, I don't want to say a consensus, but there was multiple people talking about how this, like, him not playing in that game was, I don't want to say would affect their vote, but it was impactful on their vote. And there were a couple guys saying, hey, we were looking forward to seeing this game to see, you know, how these two top-end MVP candidates would square off.
Okay.
And that was probably the better way to say it. Yeah. And, like, I don't want to put words in their mouths, but that was kind of it. And I'm kind of like, well, so you're really let one game?
Yes.
Like, decide so this much?
That's the only question that needs to be asked. How big of a joke is that? Right? Either way, whatever your side is in this MVP battle here, or whatever bets you have, that would have such an effect on people.
Yeah.
Now Nikola Jokic played six more games than Joel Embiid has. That's starting to bubble up as, you know, sort of a broader point of all this. But I will tell you this. I have said on this show, and I hadn't bet it yet until yesterday, but I had said on this show many times, I go, this is sort of, you know, on this, whether we think we're going to or not, we often influence betting markets here, whether it's a tennis play in a given day, whether it's futures markets, whether it's a guest coming on and having a pick. We do have an influence at times on markets, you know, side sports more than the major sports, of course. This was the mainstream media's moment where it felt like they were all banding together to create seat change in the NBA MVP market. Zach Lowe, Bill Simmons, and even Tim Legler. And I mentioned this last week. I was like, I went and listened to that Zach Lowe podcast about why he thought all of a sudden, a guy who had voted for Nikola Jokic for 2 years, how he all of a sudden was like, I'm not voting for Jokic this year. I'm starting to lean towards Embiid. He didn't go all out and say he was going to do the vote. But his reasoning was he didn't think Jokic's defense was as up to snuff as it had been in the last couple years. In other words, his broader statement was his offense is unassailable, but in the last couple years, his defense was good enough. Not this year. His defense isn't quite good enough. And the stat that I will never forget that he brought up is he was really bothered by the fact that Nikola Jokic had, you ready for this, 47 kicked balls. I'm not even making this up. Kicked basketballs, let's be clear. So in other words, the year before, if Vucevic had the most in the whole NBA, 14 of them. And so the fact that Jokic had 47 of these to date in the NBA was really bothering Zach Lowe because for him, it was a representation of lazy defense. And I'm like, I think that's a good defensive play, quite frankly.
Yeah, there is. There's been a lot of interesting stuff with some of the NBA media guys because JVT and I've been tracking some of this stuff, and he texted me one yesterday where Tim Bontemps keeps really leaning into this. He said this multiple times where the Vegas odds have these wrong, and he said this about Defensive Player of the Year, and he said it about MVP, and I don't know. He says it in this angry tone of I don't know if he just doesn't like that they're hanging odds on awards, or is he implying that the people he talks to, because he's one of the guys that helps shape these markets every year with his straw polls, mm-hmm. people he talks to, is he saying that the favorites shouldn't be favored? And that's where
that's what it sounds like more than anything.
That's what I think it sounds like.
He might have anger behind it, but we don't know that. But that's what it sounds like at a base minimum, right?
When you hear it flatted, that's what it sounds like. And so I don't know. I think he doesn't think Embiid should be the favorite like he has been over the past.
Well, so this was my point because then and Legler, by the way, after hearing Lowe and Simmons and others, and I can only think it was precipitated by that, where Tim Legler then comes on the air and he isolates one defensive play that Joel Embiid made against the Cleveland Cavaliers where he, you know, I can't remember who it was that drove through him and then Embiid on a dime jumped and then reversed and made a block. Like, and he gushed about it, you know, in the, just with this gravitas, like, oh, no other player in the league could have made this play. And it was just, they were just piling on this thing. And I'm like, has Nikola Jokic, have we just, like, lost our minds that this guy, the stats that you give, Kelly, are always the best. The difference between him being on the court and him being off versus Embiid being on the court and Embiid being off, it's unassailable that he is, by definition, the MVP. And yesterday, I finally went ahead and just put my money where my mouth is, and I bet Jokic at plus 130. I bet him at plus 130, and now as we're looking at the current odds at DraftKings, it's basically a coin flip. Embiid is plus 105, Jokic is plus 110, Giannis is 5-1. And let's just say that March 22nd, which is last Wednesday, if I have that correct,
yeah.
So 6 days ago, Jokic was plus 250. So again, this is one of these things where, yes, should I have bet it then? I actually said out loud I should bet it then. Shouldn't we be betting Nikola Jokic? I didn't get around to it, but I'm happy to take the plus 130. I'm happy to take anything that's plus money or coin flip or better, quite frankly, on this. What's the stat, Kelly, if you might?
Yeah, right now. So right now, updated on-off splits for Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic. Joel Embiid on the court, plus 11.9. Nikola Jokic, plus 28.
On and off the court.
Yep.
I mean, what are we talking about here?
They are over 20 points better, you know, on offense, 100 points per 100 possessions when Nikola Jokic is on the court.
Or, by the way, it should be pointed out, is Giannis the one we're all sleeping on? With the Bontemps
comment.
He's
the best player in the world.
Yeah, maybe we are. But Embiid over Jokic just because three guys got together and were like this cabal of, oh, no, this is why. No.
I don't buy any of it.
I don't buy it. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Little update, Kelly, on some of the bets made on this show here of late. Dano Mattia came on this show from herhoopstats.com, spread the floor, herhoopstats.com, to give his futures plays in the women's basketball tournament. And he gave out Virginia Tech at 40-1 to win it all. The Hokies are now in the Final Four.
That ain't bad.
How about that?
That ain't bad.
Now, they're still 11-1. You could still jump on the Hokies bandwagon at 11-1. He got them at 40-1. He recommended some people who heard our show got Virginia Tech at 100-1. We heard as high as that number. So they're in the Final Four, but the Goliath that is South Carolina still in it after they beat Maryland yesterday. So your girl Caitlin Clark plays them next.
Whew.
Iowa versus South Carolina, whereas LSU takes on Va Tech. So those futures for anybody who has them getting very interesting. So if Va Tech can get by LSU, then you can work really well with those tickets against South Carolina. South Carolina is still going to be a big favorite, but there is probably a money making situation there. But
that's what we got up next is South Carolina, Iowa. That's a must watch for me. Actually, I'm not that big of a women's basketball guy, but Caitlin Clark, I could watch her play
all day.
That's
your girl.
Yeah, I could watch her play all 40-point triple-double.
40-point triple-double. First ever in women's college basketball.
She could shoot.
She can play the game. So good on everybody who's got the Va Tech tickets. And then we here on the show last week, was it last week? The weeks blend into each other now. I think it was last week, because this is right when Iga Świątek pulled out of the Miami Open, and J-Rod, shout out to J-Rod, because he was the one who alerted to us when it happened, and I immediately said to everybody, grab Sabalenka, grab Rybakina. Grab the numbers on both of those ladies right now. And they were both like, 5-1 and 6-1, I think, respectively, with Iga still on the board, and the books were slow to get on this. And we weren't even pigs about it. We made one bet. We waited another 5-10 minutes. We made another bet. Well, they're in the quarters starting today, two of the quarters being played today, two tomorrow. Rybakina is a minus 1,000 favorite in her match today. I think she's playing Trevisan. And then tomorrow, Sabalenka, a minus 500 favorite or thereabouts in her match. So right now, quarterfinals, two matches for each of those ladies to get to the final where we will be in perfect position. So hopefully that happens for everybody who jumped on those bets. By the way, tennis bets today, we lost yesterday. So we've had a great Miami Open. The last 2 days, though, we gave a couple units back on a couple dogs. We had Taro Daniel against Emil Ruusuvuori a couple days ago. Emil Ruusuvuori is like my Irvin Santana, Kelly. And by that, what I mean is, when I used to back Irvin Santana when I bet baseball every day, he would just be a gas can. He'd be horrible. Then when I would fade him, he would be Cy Young. He was my nemesis. He's the one guy I could never figure out. That's Emil Ruusuvuori for me. And yesterday, by the way, Varvara Gracheva, who had plenty of chances against against Kvitova, she lost 7-5, 7-6. She actually was up a break in the second set, so we lost that one, also a big dog. But today we're backing Ruusuvuori is my point. So, disclaimer, God help us. Because we want him to be good Irvin Santana today.
On Tuesdays, I always bet tennis players with four U's in their last name.
Four U's.
Four U's.
The man is Finnish.
A lot of U's.
When you're Finnish, you're allowed to have four U's. So I'm backing Emil Ruusuvuori. I got him at minus 143. It is a chalk fest today on the men's side. Men are in the final 16, the round of 16, and the ladies with the two quarters. But it's generally a chalk fest. We'll see if Drew Dinsick has a play or two in tennis. We bring him in now from both NBC Sports Bet the Edge podcast and The Deep Dive. Dinsick classic that he does with his buddy Andy Molitor. At whale underscore Cabber. How you doing, Drew?
I'm great, man. Yeah, what a match that Ruusuvuori van de Zandschulp. Good one for the to be the announcer in, right? You know,
yes.
I really can't imagine you know, getting tongue tied.
They
on
should
that
be.
One,
they but, should be required yeah. every time each player hits a shot to say their last name. So they just go Ruusuvuori van de Zandschulp. Ruusuvuori, just do that the whole match.
Yeah, Botic versus Emil.
Yeah. Botic versus Emil. Do you have any plays? Plays for you today?
Didn't take that match, but it looks like the market is in strong agreement with you. Ruusuvuori is out to like minus 156.
I took
Holger Rune at a dog price. He's Ooh. Drifting also. This is a little spooky because, you know, a guy, when you see a number open as a dog and you're like, are you kidding me? And then it goes to an even bigger dog price, it's like, oh, there's an injury I don't know about or something. I mean, Taylor Fritz is a great player. Don't get me wrong. He's our best American tennis player, and there's a decent margin between him and the next best guy. But, you know, he's riding a little bit of, you know, the high of performing in California where he always plays better. I know the court speed at Miami is playing a lot faster than, you know, years past.
Yes.
However, you know, Rune is just, his movement is so superior. I have a tough time figuring, you know, seeing him not find a way into most points in this match. So I think Rune is absolutely alive at the dog price. I think I got him at 140-something. Let me see if that's still available before I, you know, go hog on this one.
Before
plus
you,
142.
Before you lie to us, yeah. Drew, yes.
Yeah, plus yeah. 142, still bettable.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I make that match basically a coin flip. And if it wasn't in America, I think I would have Rune as a meaningful favorite. Andre Rublev, Yannick Sinner match should be pretty good. Although I do like Sinner to come through that one in straight sets. I bet him at -1.5 sets at +144. And then I like Tommy Paul to hang in there early versus Alcaraz. I think over 9.5 games in the first set is a good bet. I could see that one going, going a little longer than people expect. Interestingly enough, there's only one player who has solved Carlos Alcaraz in the last year, and it's Tommy Paul. He has the one head-to-head win in the one time they went, it was at the Canadian Masters. I think that was in Toronto, not Montreal, but either way, very similar conditions. And I think, you could see a tiebreak in the first set there before ultimately Alcaraz comes through. Alcaraz, really, they gave him quite the test here. He's going to have to go through Paul and then Rune and then Sinner and then Medvedev on court speeds that are much more in favor of Medvedev than what we saw at Indian Wells. So if Alcaraz comes through with the championship here, I think you have to, even if you had elevated him pretty aggressively after seeing him in Indian Wells, I think you have to take him up again if he wins this title.
Do you have him to win this as we did? I had him in Indian Wells as well, and you did. Do you have him here in Miami? Because I do.
No futures outrights at all for me in the men's. And part of the reason is you were responsible when you got the ego news. I went hog wild. I deployed as much capital as I felt comfortable in the futures market on the women's side. I'm heavier Sabalenka than I am Rybakina. And then I took a bunch of long shotters just in case they're all done. So need one of those two to come through. And honestly, you look at the draw now, I don't see how that doesn't happen, really. They're playing so much better than the rest of the field. Jessica Pegula, you can make a case. She's showing you something. But really, after that, all the rest of those on the list are straight set sauces to the two Titans, as far as I can tell you.
Yep, I would agree with that. Anything? Have you made any football bets of any kind?
Ooh, yeah, I'm sure I have.
Curveball.
I have.
Yeah,
yeah. I have a couple of interesting ones. The one I think is probably the most controversial, or at least least amount of agreement, and the market did not come with me at all. But you know, when the Lamar Jackson news broke that he was going to get the non-exclusive franchise tag, I fired away on some Falcons 100-1, just in the kind of the mindset of this is a team that, you know, automatically becomes the you know, the top rated team in the NFL or in the NFC, excuse me, if they make the move for Lamar. And, you know, instead they deployed their capital trying to rebuild in the mold of the Eagles, as far as I can tell you. They're just, you know, going with, you know, talent in the trenches, their own drafted talent on the offensive line, and then just going out and getting every warm body for the defensive line. I liked their move getting Bates in there as safety. So I think ultimately you have a Falcons team that has one of the better defenses now on paper in the NFC. And I think they believe at least Ritter is a guy that can show them something that's Hurts like, and ultimately they probably, you know, I like them to get to the playoffs this year. I think ultimately they probably have a Ritter stinker in the playoffs this year before then, you know, taking a next step forward, you know, the following season. But I like Art Smith as a coach. I like what the Falcons did in free agency overall in terms of putting talent on that roster. And the NFC right now is as weak as I've ever seen it. And I can barely wrap my head around how bad this is. Your San Francisco 49ers, who may be starting Sam Darnold, week one, are your NFC favorites.
Yeah. What's more ridiculous, Ritter and Heineke? The Falcons not going for Lamar Jackson, or Washington with Howell and Brissett not making a play for him?
I mean, they're all equally ridiculous. All I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, I don't either. We'll come back. Maybe we'll talk more about that. But NBA as well. Drew Dinsick joins us. Kind enough to join us for a second segment. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
March Madness might be winding down, but that doesn't mean there isn't still plenty to bet on. Baseball's opening day is just around the corner. Matter of fact, 48 hours from now. And VSiN Pro has you covered with our MLB betting guide with power rankings and best bets. Our experts are also getting ready for golf's first major of the year at Augusta. This year's upcoming Masters betting guide will break down every golfer in the field, plus futures bets and matchups. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. We always joke about a VSiN Plus Plus subscription. Here we are off air. I'm trying to figure out how many generations, pardon me, this song spans. But a couple weeks ago, I guess it was right in the middle of March Madness, right? The first weekend of March Madness, Bobby Caldwell died. And Kelly, you had no idea who that name was.
Oh,
or
man,
who that referred to.
I didn't know he passed away.
But everybody, so he did the song, What You Won't Do for Love. And you and Sean McCollum behind the glass, you guys are younger, you guys are in your 30s. I'm like, I want to see if you guys know what the song is. And of course you do.
Mm-hmm.
And later, after we do Twitter Beef Tuesdays with Chrissy, we'll see if he knows the song.
Yeah, I just watched a video of him performing it live. Amazing ponytail in the 80s.
I guess you wonder where I've been. We're getting to your part, Kelly. Ready?
Yeah. Before
I
we were going
to find love within your part, go.
The part that people really need to know at home is before the show how you were directing me.
Directing
me, so you're like, I'm singing. You're like, now Sean, go.
you were hitting it good. I'm sure Drew Dinsick knows the song. Drew, how you doing, man? Back with Drew Dinsick, who's like, where has this show gone? How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing well. And I thought Kelly was going to go with the Norm Macdonald joke. I didn't even know he was sick. But he, you know, that any time you veer into the 80s R&B, I'm tuning in to hear your tales. So,
thank you very much.
More of that.
It's a whole nother show.
Thanks for coming inside the love zone.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for coming inside the love zone. What was I going to ask? Oh, that promo talked about the Masters. Have you made Masters bets yet?
I have a couple of Rory 10-to-1s.
Nice.
There was some buzz that he absolutely obliterated the course when he was out. He's been doing, if you didn't already know, and I have, for all I know, all of them are doing this, but Rory in particular has been aggressively practicing. He's kind of maybe the most familiar with the changes they made on hole 13. He's got a couple of new tools in the bag that apparently are working out well. I know he didn't bring home the hardware in the Dell Match Play Championship, but I thought his play there was pretty impressive in general. So Rory would be my horse if I was going to only have one for the Masters. But I'm just excited for it, man. I don't even, it's maybe the one event on the sports calendar where I don't really need gambling skin in the game to just be able to sit down
That's
and absorb
such a
the
great
entirety
point.
Of it.
Yes.
You know,
I agree with that comment. So there is nothing, I said it yesterday, there's nothing more enjoyable than just sitting on your couch. And maybe this is all of us getting older too, right? But I used to like this when I was younger too, and just watching the Masters. And you're right, it might be the only, not that we don't have bets on it, but it might be the but it might be the only thing that doesn't require it.
Yeah, there'll be days where, like, the featured groups, that's kind of my Thursday, Friday, my favorite part is not like trying to find your favorite player and watch them do, like, the key holes. But the featured groups, you get such a good feel for the course overall because you get to see every hole. You get to get a good feel for a golfer maybe you didn't know about because you hear them talking to their caddy. You know, you get the insight. That type of stuff to me is just invaluable. I absolutely love it. And, just sitting down and watching a featured group play the entire 18 on Thursday is a joy.
All right, let's go to the NBA because I want to get you to chime in on this. For those who don't know, Drew Dinsick is holding a Mike Brown Coach of the Year ticket at a bajillion to one, which I believe is on the ticket. It says a bajillion.
It only feels like a bajillion.
Yeah. Are you? By the way, we were laughing at you last week when you were on because you were like, I don't know if this Mike Brown ticket's gonna get home. And Kelly and I, after you left, were like, okay, I get why he's saying that, but come on. Do you still have that gambler's doubt where you're like, I can't say it out loud yet?
Yes and no. I mean, I was being somewhat sincere, though, because
I know you were.
The Kings were losing some ball games, and they were doing it not, in unimpressive fashion. And, like, I know, I'm pretty scarred through the last couple of cycles in the NFL with the way the recency bias tainted the end of the award cycle. And you end up with these, you make smart, you make plus EV plays preseason and early in the season that have massive equity as you come down the home stretch just to see your player get run down because Brian Daboll beats the Indianapolis Colts 100-3 or whatever. It's like, this is ridiculous. Like, the recency bias taints all of these awards so aggressively that if, the Kings, if they slipped from the 2 seed to the 4, if they lost the Pacific, which, if they lose out their, lose out the remaining portion of their schedule was a realistic possibility last week, I thought, then, people are going to find reasons to not vote for him, even though, the Kings breaking the cycle of not making the playoffs, the longest cycle going in professional sports. If you hadn't already heard that, the Kings are about to break the longest cycle in professional sports of not making the postseason.
Wow. Did you know about Mike Tomlin? Have you heard about that stat?
Oh, Mike Tomlin? Is he? I know he's a good coach. I feel like he's got a winning record every year. I mean, that guy knows how to coach.
Yeah.
It was somewhat sincere because, the end of the season matters so much for all of these awards. And, I think, if you want to talk a little bit about the MVP race, which is maybe the most interesting thing going.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to bring up. That's how we started
the show. Far from decided.
Well, so that was the thing. So yesterday, by the way, again, in case you missed it, Joel Embiid, about an hour and a half after we were off the air, after Kelly boldly proclaimed that there was no chance Embiid would not play, it was announced that Embiid would not play. And then, so he's got to drink a bunch of eggnog. But then, you know, Nikola Jokic goes out and drops another triple-double, 25, 17, and 12 in the Nuggets' 116-111 win over the Sixers. So it looks like the Sixers are not going to win the Atlantic Division. There was a moment mm-hmm. where you thought they might. Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets are going to be the number one seed. They never really flirted with not being the number one seed. And Nikola Jokic, in the process, just messes around and throws up his 29th triple-double. Or as the kids call him, Kelly, trip-dubs. 29 sure. of them. So,
this, by the way, this graphic has moved to 5 more cents. This is now Nikola Jokic, the favorite, plus 105, Joel Embiid, yeah. plus 110.
And so, Drew, I bet Jokic yesterday at plus 130. I finally just put my money That's where good. My mouth is. Yeah. I'm like, I'm betting him. Because I didn't buy into the Zach Lowe, Bill Simmons, Tim Legler, you know, of assault on Nikola Jokic. Where do you stand on it?
So the assault on Nikola Jokic goes long, well past that list.
Yes.
And it's for a really stupid reason.
I agree.
There's so many angles to attack this, but before going anywhere, we got to give Kelly a little bit more shade here.
Yes, we do.
Kelly, were you aware that Joel Embiid has dodged Jokic in Denver every regular season going back to 2019?
Yes,
this is not a new thing. This is not new. And you still were very confident he was going to play. Okay, that's tremendous.
You should Drew. You should have just said, "Were you aware that Gil, in the sentence before he's brought it up, said he might not play twice?"
Yeah. It was the everything about what the Sixers did in the last 72 hours has been very weird. I don't know why they played Embiid in Phoenix. That was a terrible decision. He ran him into the ground in that game. He was absolutely, you know, struggling up and down the court in the fourth quarter. If you watch that. Making him play the back-to-back Warriors Phoenix, two deserved losses, and then right into a matchup with Denver where they pull all of the rug out from under the team on the eve of tip, but whatever. I think Embiid's case is in the most trouble here out of these three players that are realistically being considered. And it's not just because of not playing against Jokic. It's because the Sixers are realistically in the fight for the 3 seed right now. Like, they could very easily get flipped by the Cavs for the 3-4. And honestly, you know, Embiid, he deployed so much energy after, you know, Harden got hurt, a week and change ago, in that little stretch there. They've come down the home stretch here with one of the more difficult schedules. Their easiest game remaining is at the Hawks. Otherwise, they get Bucks, Celtics, Nets, Heat, Mavericks, Raptors, and Hawks. These last 7 games, like, they are going to finish with a whimper. The MVP voters are going to hold that against him. And, you know, the case against Jokic is, I think, a little bit of a problem for anyone holding a Jokic ticket, because there are people who literally are not going to put him at the top of their ballot because they don't want to see him get 3 straight MVPs, mm-hmm. considering how little he's accomplished in the postseason. And that's a terrible reason not to vote for a guy who has been, in my opinion, the most important player in the regular season this year. But what that does is that opens up the door for Mr. Giannis Antetokounmpo to come and steal this MVP.
He is the best player.
Yeah. On the best team. You said that the Denver Nuggets have the 1 seed locked up, Gil. That's a mistake. They are the 2 overall to the Milwaukee Bucks, yes. who can absolutely put some space on the rest of the East this week. Giannis gets a head-to-head win against the Celtics this week on national TV, and then the Sixers on Sunday. I think he is very live for this award.
Yes. Conference versus league, of course, but I think you're right.
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
I think that might... I believe it was LL Cool J, Kelly, who once said, the sneaky, freaky brother sneaking in from the rear. And I think it might be Giannis. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it.
Hey, best luck, guys.
Coming back with Lamar Odds next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Even a wager that misses could still be a slam dunk with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Place an NBA 1-game parlay wager with 4 legs or more, and if you miss 1 leg, you'll receive up to $25 back. Just opt into this promotion on BetMGM's app or website. With 1-game parlay, you can make selections within a single NBA game, including team and player props. Opt into the promotion, then place an NBA one-game parlay wager of four legs or more, and you'll get up to $25 back if you miss one leg. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Numbers Game, live from the South Point Hotel Casino. Still to come, Mark Borchard with his favorite Major League Baseball season-long plays. We'll go through divisions with him, then we'll go through player props. He's bet some awards as well. Was not able to join us on the Megapod yesterday that we did with Spore, Weingarten, and Burke, which was just awesome.
I was going to say, how'd it go?
It was great. It was fantastic. Good. Fantastic. Got a lot of great feedback from it. And it was just, it's great being around people who love baseball because it feels like it's a dying breed. And hopefully the rule changes will correct that to some degree. And then, of course, it's Twitter Beef Tuesday on a numbers game. Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha in here, wants to talk about a Fezzik tweet from this week, from this weekend. Oh, yeah. Twitter Beef Tuesday. Can we come up with a musical jingle for that?
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna have enough time.
No, nothing. You can do one on the fly.
I could just sing it in the background.
Yeah, no, you for sure you should.
I'll just stand in the corner of the studio.
What was this Elon Musk thing you just heard? What's that about?
Oh, I don't. It was the tweet with the link to an article, so I didn't get to the article. But
Kelly doesn't read. Ladies and
gentlemen. Something about upping the charges for you utilizing Twitter.
Oh no. Well. We get tweets.
Yeah, we get tweets.
Final edition.
We might have to start paying a dollar to submit them every time.
Ray Pierce. Can we just have Kelly stand on the road with a sign that says, I made the dumbest guarantee in the history of sports media. This is where you planted your flag. Rather than drink stale eggnog. Let me just be on the record. This is not Kelly's coldest take ever.
Not at all. Yeah.
We should go back about a decade plus. When an actual Twitter handle by the name of Cold Takes Exposed, I believe it is.
Freezing Cold Takes, pardon me.
What was your comment, Kelly?
It was the NCAA tournament where Kawhi Leonard was playing in, and I was maybe very, very invested in Florida State basketball at that time.
Maybe.
Chris Singleton, if anybody remembers him out there, great small forward for FSU basketball. And we were heading into NBA draft. I believe my tweet read something to the likes of, if I were an NBA GM, there's no way I would be taking Chris Singleton over Kawhi Leonard.
No, it's worse than that. Don't sell yourself short. You go, I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's how it begins.
That's how you start. I'm sorry, but Chris Singleton, for the record, I loved Chris Singleton too. But anyway, the freezing cold takes guy plays it every year come NBA draft
time. Oh, he is.
He retweets it. Yeah,
I talked to him. He's a guy who lives down in South Florida. I was lucky to interview him one time. He was like, oh, it's like secretly one of my favorite ones. He's like, whenever someone mentions Kawhi Leonard, I just bring it up.
Joe Nigro, can't wait to see Kelly Bin Laden chugging eggnog. Hashtag Embiid. Bill Hooker, if eggnog isn't available, substitute buttermilk.
Yeah, oof. There's a lot of people sending home recipes. I know you can make it at home. I'm not drinking the home stuff.
Okay.
Have you ever had homemade eggnog?
I've never had eggnog.
I was going to say, I know you're not an eggnog.
Do you know why I've never had eggnog? Because the words eggnog don't sound good to me.
I get it. But the homemade stuff is even, like, it's more what you're thinking. It's more eggy. Like, it's eggy.
I don't want egg in liquid form, and I don't want nog in liquid form, if you know what I mean. Joe Pompliano, by the way, Kiss the Degenerate, thank you for pointing this out to us. Joe Pompliano tweeting that ESPN says 37 out of their 20 million brackets picked the final four correctly. So not a perfect bracket. We're just talking the final four. But 37 out of 20 million, that is 0.000185%.
I heard that stat the other night they were talking about on ESPN. I'm still shocked there's that many.
Me too.
I know that you're talking just the final four, not a perfect bracket. But I'm still shocked there's that many that had this.
Stephen Vegas has offered to help. He says, it's a lock. I can find some Pennsylvania Dutch eggnog at a local liquor store. It'll have 14.75% alcohol, and I can bring it tomorrow. Might as well get a little while doing this right. Challenge accepted, Kelly Bidlin?
Yeah, see, that was the one tweet I did read. I'm sorry, the homemade stuff I'm skipping over. That's the one I read where I said, crap, he's right. Like, that is, I know where that gross mix is in the liquor store, and it's It's always there in the liquor store.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And on with this. This is also J-Rod. I have Jokic plus 650 and plus 400 and Embiid plus 650. Should I add Giannis to try to hit one of them as MVP? I think the answer is yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think Drew broke it down really well. That was I think this is still a three horse race. So you got to keep that in mind with your betting, right? I don't think you should be even if somehow Embiid and Jokic keep kind of flipping favorites, don't think you can just sit home every day and grab, you know, Jokic at plus 110 and Embiid at plus 120 and start racking up these bets. I think this is definitely a three horse race.
Tom Collins, what time will Mr. Andrews be on the show? It'll be 11:25, 8:25 Pacific, so halfway through the second hour. And then others, Peter Watry, I got 100-1 on Vatek. Actually, really enjoyed watching the past two games. First ever time to watch women's hoop, a great part of being a recreational better. New sports, absolutely. And by the way, the Twitter feed is overrun with people who made Virginia Tech bets based on Dano Mattia's appearance here on the show a couple times.
That's awesome.
I love that.
Yeah, that is great. The one last thing I want to say about MVP real quick is just keep an eye. The MVP or the Embiid thing is a little concerning to me just because if anybody remembers, he had those comments before the All-Star break about essentially how he was playing hurt and maybe needed to consider taking some time at some point. That's why I was shocked. Drew broke it down, but that's why I was shocked he didn't play in this game yesterday, because they had him play in a back-to-back over the weekend. He played through that, so why would you put him in that position but not have him ready for this big of a game as we had last night, and then for him to sit during that, that waved a flag to me of maybe there's a little bit more concern here for Embiid than just a game off.
We brought up Lamar Jackson on multiple occasions. You can bet on his next team. And so, out of the interest of thoroughness, we point these out. Lamar Jackson's next team, on the heels, by the way, of the Colts GM, Chris Ballard, having brought up yesterday, is that we got to explore every option. Got to look into a trade here, perhaps. So the Colts are the short shot as a result, largely of those comments by Chris Ballard. These courtesy of DraftKings. Colts are plus 250. This is, as Kelly likes to point out, if not with the Ravens, right? So if he remains with the Ravens, it's all refunds. But Colts plus 250, followed by the two teams we just mentioned with Drew. The Falcons at 3-1, who currently, again, have rostered Desmond Ridder and the great Taylor Heinicke. And then the Washington Commodores, who are seemingly going with Sam Howell and 11 completed forward passes career, and Jacoby Brissett at plus 450. After that, it gets pretty interesting. Because when you ask people, hey, what are some of the other teams? He wants to play in Miami.
Yeah.
It might solve your Tua problem simultaneously. The Dolphins are 8-1. The Lions, who Jared Goff has been playing fantastic for, what if you added Lamar Jackson to the Lions? If you added Lamar Jackson to the Lions, they're instantly the short shot to win the NFC, maybe, along with the Niners, perhaps, co-favorites. Like, they shoot right to the top, 8-1. And then there's the Titans going back to in the Ravens conference, the Titans at 10-1 because, I mean, they've been a quarterback away in many seasons in recent history as well. Then everybody else longer than that.
Yeah, I don't know if you're the Titans, how do you just not think that one simple thing, right?
What has caused us not to get to the promised land?
Right.
If I could only put my finger on it.
Right, exactly. I mean, look, everybody on that on that one side of the graphic, it's like this is where we've been going crazy about the collusion stuff, because it's like, oh yeah, Colts were good, Falcons were good, Commanders were good. Yeah, Lions were good. Titans were good. Really? Like, really? Yeah, well, a quarterback of Lamar Jackson's caliber, that's not taking your team to a next level?
I've said it from the beginning. If the Commanders got him, I would be over the moon. Over the moon.
And I really do think, keep an eye more on the Dolphins situation. As you broke down, like, I think there's something there that could make sense for both teams. Maybe not in ideal situations right now where they could help out a lot.
Yeah. John Harbaugh, again, on the record is saying, we're still planning for our offense with Lamar. That's what he said yesterday when Lamar sent out the tweet that he had requested a trade that predated the Ravens tagging him. And by the way, if you're wondering about the Jets at 20-1, the Jets publicly stating, no, taking our time with Aaron Rodgers. No interest in Lamar Jackson. If you take them at their word, which you know how that goes. Lying season. But I would take the Jets at their word. Let's get some baseball in. Mark Borchardt, season-long bets, numbers game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.